Hi guys, welcome back to the Strong with Julie podcast. Today I have a very special guest, someone that I've been following on Instagram. Absolutely love her page, her workouts, just her whole vibe. Her name is Nisha. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi guys, my name is Nisha. I'm known on Instagram as Nisha Curves, so I'm excited to be here today.
Awesome. We're going to go into your story. People are going to learn things about you. But first of all, your kids are so cute, and your daughter is like your little twin. How old are they?
My daughter's 6 and my son is 12. He'll be 13 soon, so he's like a whole teenager now.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, getting started, I love to do like a quick rapid fire, but where are you located?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta. Okay, so I'm in Florida, so we're like kind of close. So the first one is favorite restaurant.
Bar taco. I love tacos.
I love Bar Taco.
Yeah, I
I'm
love it.
originally from Connecticut and I thought they just had it there.
Oh, really? Yeah, they in Atlanta, they have like 3 or 4 different locations, and I just love it. I love it.
Oh, great. Vacation spot.
I don't think it's necessarily a spot, but I love tree houses. So I love to take my kids there. Yeah, to different tree houses anywhere.
That's really cool. I like that. Have you guys ever done the glamping? It's not like tree houses, but I feel like it's a similar vibe.
No, we haven't. We haven't
No,
done
you
that
should look into it. Brett, my boyfriend, and I were looking into a glamping trip in the Grand Canyon this year, and that just made me think of it. I'll send you the link after.
Awesome. Okay.
Morning routine?
So I'm a 4 a.m. person. That's
Yeah.
like, yeah, I get up, I train at 4 o'clock in the morning every like I'm 4 days a week. I do that. On off days, it'll be like at 7 a.m. But that's because I can't in the afternoon. But then after that, it's like post meal, get my kids ready. It's time to like get everybody out the door so I get my day started with my clients.
Yeah, go, go, go. And at 4 a.m., are you going to the gym? Do you work out from home? What does that look
It's a combination of both. So I'll do home, but then also I have to go to the gym for leg days because you need all that heavy equipment for your legs.
Yeah. All the hip thrusts. Okay, great book you've read recently.
Dave Goggins, I read his first one and I love it. I think it's
Yeah.
called Stay Hard or something like that.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. I actually just bought us his second book. He's tough. He's a tough cookie, but he like puts you in your place.
Absolutely. I love his stuff. And like, even when like, I'm on a treadmill, I'm imagining I'm running with Dave Goggins, which is weird, but I'm going to get there. I promise. Like, that's set in stone. I'm going to meet him.
Yeah. No, you should. I bet he does book signings and he probably does public speakings, you know? TV show you're loving right now?
I'm really not a TV person, but I started watching, what is it, Good Girls on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's old, but I don't really watch TV like that, so I'll play it while I'm doing something.
Yeah. You keep yourself busy. That's good. And favorite food besides tacos?
It's food, I guess. It's a fruit. I like kiwi.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Do you eat the skin?
No, I don't eat the skin.
Okay. Some people eat the skin.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's a bit much, but I
Yeah,
like
that's a bit much.
it.
Cool. Okay. So great. Now I want to go kind of back in time and just learn all about you. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to either be an actress or a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the acting part, I'm not so much into anymore, but I am definitely going to steer towards motivational speaking after I'm done like training clients and stuff and building an empire with that.
Yeah, I love that. So when you were little, you like put on shows and performances for your parents? How did that kind of evolve? Because I feel like when I was little, I didn't even know what a motivation was.
I love to listen to motivational speakers. Like, I don't know if you know who Les Brown is, and he's an older motivational speaker. I love listening to stuff like that. And as a kid, I would find myself listening to people just talking on stage and me just being so into it. And I was like, I think I want to do this. I want to talk to people.
They're powerful. Yeah, that's great. And were you always okay with public speaking, or is that something you had to learn?
I
No.
was not. I wasn't okay with it because of the fact that I had scars and I was a colostomy survivor. I didn't understand like how to be myself and have that confidence. That was the thing. But like, if you would have ticked me off as a kid, I was gonna talk. I was gonna let you have it. So I had it to master controlling my emotions, and not only that, but also being okay with being uncomfortable. Because when you're speaking to people, that's the main thing that you're afraid of, is the fact that you're uncomfortable. Not that you can't talk because you have friends, or you have people you interact with. You got to go to work, so you got to talk to people, right? So it's not that. It was just more or less, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't confident. And then I had an emotional problem where it was like, she's a little weird, socially awkward. Let me say that.
Yeah, I think everyone goes through a little bit of that phase. Did your parents help in any way when it came to that motivational speaking, the wanting to get into health and fitness? Is that something they helped shape you in, or was it something where you kind of had to find that path on your own?
So it's a combination of both. I was raised by a single father. So my mom wasn't there. My dad was present. He raised six kids on his own. And I think he did a really good job, but he taught us things that we needed to be prepared for. And when I tell people like my story and how I grew up, he was like, well, how did he make all that possible? I'm like, well, he just did the best he could. He shaped us in ways of making us aware of how the world works and what to expect. I
Yeah, like
think
a
in that way.
realist.
Yes, he was very realistic, and you had to be a hard worker around him because he hated lazy people. He didn't like that. So all of us are hard workers in a way.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when you were growing up, do you remember those first memories of like really feeling outside of your comfort zone? Like maybe it was giving a speech in school or trying new sports, like where you started really practicing getting uncomfortable?
I practice through making friends. Yeah, I practiced through meeting people and making connections and friends, but I was very cautious of who I made friends with, even as like a little kid. Yeah, because kids are mean. And like, my story as far as like how I got my colostomy back came from a car accident. And like, I was very shy. I didn't want to take my shirts off or nothing like that. So kids were mean that knew like I had scars, and that made me disconnect from people. So me connecting with people was a way of getting out that comfort zone of trying to be able to talk without me, whether it's stuttering or like, being weird and socially awkward type of thing.
So it was a car accident that led up to that surgery. Could we go over that story for anyone that's new and doesn't know that story? And also, like, how old were you when it happened?
Yeah, I was about 7 years old. It was during the summertime, right around my birthday. I was like seven. It happened with my mom and my two brothers. It was really bad to the point where I had to go straight into surgery for ex external bleeding and things like that. And then I came out with a bag on my side. So I had several different surgeries, but the main two was the colostomy bag and then also the surgery on my back, which it was kind of like I had, it was crooked in a way, my spine. So they had to push all of that together, right? So now I went from a kid that was used to running and playing to now I had to learn how to walk, right? I had to learn how to like push through those hard moments that a kid shouldn't have to experience, but unfortunately I did, to where I now needed to understand how to move again. I was young, so I didn't really care about my gut health the way that I should, and like later on it started to affect me, but I needed to like heal. Like my gut needed to heal.
Internally. Yeah,
Yeah.
that makes sense. I feel like that whole experience can really make you grow up a lot faster too, to get
It
that
definitely.
freedom ripped away from you at such a young age.
Yes, definitely. So now I really value like certain things like walking and things like that and just being able to just be active.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's awesome. And look at you now, you're helping thousands of women do the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It came with a lot of setbacks too. So I did have setbacks along the way. And that comes from just being unexperienced, and the fact that you're not aware of certain things. But conquering those setbacks is what really made me feel like I'm winning.
Yeah, unstoppable. That's great.
Yes.
So then after high school, let's talk career-wise, growth-wise. Did you go to college? Did you go to a job? What did that look like once you graduated?
Yeah, so when I graduated, My life started early. So let me say that. So I met my husband, we had kids and things like that. So I had my first child and we didn't get married till later on, but I had my first baby. So I was thinking, well, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to do my bachelor's degree and master's. So I went to school for accounting and it was different because I love math. I think I just did it because I was like, okay, I'm good at math. Let me just do it. Right. And then I can make some money. And I got a job in my career field. I did all those things. And yeah, I was somewhat happy or feeling like I was happy and established, but I wasn't fully fulfilled in a way.
Yeah, the purpose and passion was missing. I could relate to you on that because I love to find out what different people in the industry and the fitness industry did prior, because I went to school for finance and marketing. And then it was during that time where I kind of felt that emptiness, similar to what you were feeling, like, yeah, I'm making money, I'm going about my day, but there's something missing that's like burning, you know? So how did that end up playing out?
I went through life just, I don't know, I feel like I was on zombie mode the entire time, right? Just working, taking kids. And then I wanted to get back into health and fitness. So with my son, I did, right? But I was on a mission of just, I just want to lose all this body fat really, really fast. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to have to go to weight training or nothing like that. So I started out HIIT training, same time, 4 a.m. in the morning. I got inspired to do that because I was listening to a podcast and someone was like, you got to get up before the competition. You got to get up before your day gets started. You have to get moving. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. It was hard to train myself to get up at 4 a.m., but it wasn't the fact I had to get up, it was the fact I had to go to bed early.
Earlier,
Yeah. And that was what was killing me. So when I found out, like, I just got to go to bed, turn the TV off, just stop watching it, that routine started to kick in. So I became a 4 a.m. during that time. And then as life started to keep going, I got pregnant again, right? So I had to do it again. I was like, dang it, I have to start over. I have to lose the body fat, try to build muscle. But this time I decided to weight train. I was like, I'm not going to do that. You know, HIIT training, trying to do fasted cardio, all that stuff. You know, it has its benefits, but it wasn't designed for someone who wants to really scope their physique. And that's where I was like, weight training it is. And I started doing weight training after I had my daughter. That took me 6 months to like really see my body change. Yeah. And I was so happy when I seen it. I was like, this is it. I'm sticking here.
That's amazing. You're not going to build curves on a HIIT regime.
Yeah, you're not. So, and it was tiresome. Like, it was really tiring to have to get up and get your heart rate up so high and then go back and do it again. And you're like, what the heck? It was draining.
What I find too as a coach that's been through different phases of like the HIIT addicts, I would be so hungry that sometimes the results wouldn't even come because my cortisol levels were so high, I'd start binging because of the stress. But so I'm not a mom, but I love babies and I just like dream of one day getting pregnant and it's like exciting for me. But what was it like being pregnant? Were you taking care of your body? Were you eating different foods? Were you training during, like, with when you got pregnant with your daughter? Did you continue that HIIT training? And then you could also talk about things that you would do differently for tips for moms.
So with my son, I actually was working out. My daughter, I wasn't. Yeah. I'm for her, I was not. I did walk. Like, I wasn't just sitting on the couch. I was walking. And I wasn't, the thing was, I didn't crave any meats with her. She didn't want me to eat meat. And I thought that was weird. So it helped, but it didn't help because it's like, dang, where am I getting my protein from? And when I gave, like, after I gave birth, I was so small. Like, I didn't have a butt and I was mad. I was like, where did it go? So things like that, I would tell myself, like, try to find a way to get the protein in, girl, because that baby's about to take everything.
My mom always said if you're having a girl, she will like strip away your beauty. Cool. And I guess tips for postpartum women wanting to get back into shape, fitness, what are some like easy, tangible tips for like new moms or people that want to get pregnant that they can implement?
Yeah, so for people who just had a child or like you're probably 6 weeks afterwards, I would say start as early as you can. So as soon as that doctor say, "Hey, you're approved to start exercising, working out, you can lift X amount of pounds," you need to start, because the longer you wait, the harder it will become. The more you're going to add on to the scale, and the more weight's going to come on, and you're going to be so disappointed that you didn't start as soon as you had that baby. Like, when the clearance is there, go. I'm telling you, go. Because then the chances of everything like coming back the way you want it to be in the time that you want it to be is a lot easier and smoother, rather than you added on pounds after pounds after pounds. 'Cause after that, it's not even the baby's fault at that point. It's like you never started.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that tip. And strength training.
Yes.
Yeah. So something that I'm curious about, and I'm sure some of your followers are, is your day-to-day routine. But I wanted to start off with food. So on like the best day of eating, what does that look like? Let's say a training day where you're training at 4 a.m.
Yeah. I eat right now pretty high as far as like calories and things. So I'm over 2,000 calories
Are you
during those
tracking?
time. Yeah, I kind of track a little bit, because as you go, and you know this as a trainer, you know what 4 ounces of chicken look like at this
Oh,
point,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So for people who need that extra to like track, I suggest you track, because you don't know. But some things I can eyeball, especially when it comes to protein, understanding how much I'm eating there. But then other things that I know I need to track, I'll track that. But my day to day is like post meal immediately after my workout.
Yeah.
Usually that's like oatmeal or something like that, and I'll eat that, or my eggs, which is my favorite. But then after that, my day to day is like I have meal prep for two meals in between the day, and then my last meal is what I eat with my kids. So, because they don't want to eat the same thing, and I get it, they're
Yeah.
kids. So that meal is something that I incorporate, like the eating healthy and making sure that they understand, like, okay, this is protein, this is our vegetables and stuff, and they're involved in that. Because I don't like hearing a mom or just anyone in general that tells me, like, me and my significant other don't eat the same thing. Why? Like,
Yeah.
what do you mean you don't eat the same thing? Does he not like chicken? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they'll say, my kids don't eat the same thing. Well, what are you feeding the babies? You
Yeah.
know? So I immediately have to get into the mode when it comes to nutrition and teaching like my clients and stuff. Like, involve your kids in what you are eating, because you need to break a generational curse of bad nutritional habits. And
I
if you
like
don't
that.
start now, first off, you're going to regret it, because you're adding on to the pounds that you already have. Secondly, your kids are going to now have these habits that they eventually need to break. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think nutrition, I'm very hard on that, especially with my kids. It's not to say they don't eat things. They know what a Pop-Tart is, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure they know what broccoli is. They
Yeah.
understand what apples are, like things like that.
And they don't like demonize those foods. That makes sense. I mean, I grew up in a house where my parents were eating like salads and meats, and the kids had mac and cheese, and like that's always how it was. But I think it's really good that you're like allowing them to have the adult foods. Like when my aunt goes out to a restaurant and she's really into health and fitness, she orders her two kids like off the adult menu and they'll split it and it's like adult foods. And they're teaching them that. But it's really interesting because nowadays, even with social media, it's like there's this group of people and it's like a large group of people who demonize the people that are teaching their kids healthy habits. Like bringing them along with exercising and saying that's unhealthy while they're bringing their kids to like McDonald's every day and like feeding them mac and cheese. So
Right.
how do you feel about that? Like do you think there's a line where like it could be too extreme or like involve them in everything?
I want to involve them in everything,
Yeah.
because when you're a parent, your kids, they need to see exactly what a healthy lifestyle looks like from the
Yeah.
inside out, right? Because when you involve them in everything and you make a mistake, you know, they're able to see that, and they can see how did that parent overcome that mistake? What did they do? Like, what's the lesson behind this? Like, we're not perfect. And I tell people all the time, like, think about the smallest things in life, a freaking pencil. They put an eraser on a pencil. They know you're going to make a mistake, even the smallest task. So let's stop trying to be perfect. We're not perfect parents. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm pretty sure I made plenty of mistakes, but I'm not going to shy away from continuing to make the mistake if I know I'm not perfect at it in the beginning, right? But I take my kids with me. Like
Yeah.
when I go to the gym and I have to film my content, because I still have to create content, they're there and they see me working out. They're even mimicking what I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're involved in the workout. They want to, like, my kids love to play on my treadmill at home. Like, I don't mind. I say, go ahead, do it. I don't care because
Yeah.
I know it's their way of showing they're involved in some type of activity, and that makes me happy.
I love that. Yeah. No, that's great. Mom tips, write down for future me.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful too because I have a lot of clients where they almost separate their fitness life and their home life. And I feel like that just makes it so much harder for them. And if they were to just intertwine it all and realize this can be all one thing for your longevity and your progress, it would just make life so much easier than to keep it separate. Same goes with even your social groups. Like if your friends, the five people you hang out with most, are going out and drinking every weekend, you are most likely going to like fall back into that habit because of
Yeah.
FOMO, obviously. So yeah, no, I think it correlates to a lot of things in life to share your journey and your goals and make it a collaborative thing. It makes it easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the friend thing that you talked about, yeah, that's a huge like deal breaker for me. I literally only have probably two friends, and I've known them since I was 7 or 8 years old. I kid you not. And that's it, because everyone else are just gonna fall down the wayside. If you're not in line with the goals, the mission, the purpose, a serving, like, bye.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
want a friend that, I mean, I've had this a lot in life where when something really good happens to me, or if, let's say something really good happens to my friend, I want to be a louder cheerleader for them than they are for themselves. And I want that for myself in return. And that's really hard to find because there's a lot of jealous people out there, you know? And a
Right.
lot of people that are stuck in their ways and they want to hold you back from exceeding your goals.
Right. That's that misery love company type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that is. And I've even had clients that tell me, like, I'm elevating. Why is my boyfriend upset? And I'm like, why is he not joining you? Why is he not like, let me go to the gym with you? Why is he upset that you're going to lose this weight? Is he insecure about the fact that she's going to look good and everybody's going to want my woman? I don't know. But I feel like you need to incorporate him into what you're doing. Just say, come on, buddy, let's do it together. But
Yeah.
when you do catch those vibes or signals that someone is quote unquote jealous or competition, whatever they're calling it nowadays,
Yeah.
I would say let them go. I address it first, right?
Yeah.
Because we have to address it. Now, if they're not mature enough to address it and they're just gonna play like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, that's their favorite line. So I would say after that, walk away and just let it be. But people are holding on to these people because it makes them feel comfortable with going to the next stage. But that door is only big enough for one person to go through it.
Yeah,
Always.
that makes sense. I like that. Sometimes that conversation can be really hard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my fair share of the ghost of friends, past relationships. It's really
Yeah.
not the way to go because it kind of weighs heavy on your heart still. So, at least if you can have that closure and get uncomfortable to have the conversation, like you're doing yourself one better. And then their
Right.
reaction's up to them.
Yeah. You can't control how people react to stuff. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit about. So you start your day at 4 a.m. on training days. Let's talk about the night. Like, what does closing shift look like for you? Do you have a night routine? Yeah, all that.
Yeah, I have a night routine. So dinner, I involve my kids. They watch me cook most of the time. And after dinner, we're kind of just like on chill mode, I guess. I'll watch whatever they want to watch, or I'll read a book. So it'll either be movie time for us, or it's like book time for Anisha. And I'll write down goals, things that I want to accomplish, or like manifestation and all those things. But then I'll also pray before I go to bed. So I'm really spiritual, and I wasn't always this way, but I'm glad I'm back now. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I'll just pray about the things that I want to see happen, and then pray about the things that have happened. Like, thank you so much for giving me that experience and letting me power through that, or giving me the energy and the strength I needed to power through it. And then pray to protect the people that I love. Like, everyone needs that. And then I start just getting ready for bed. So I have like this massage. It's $20 at Walmart.
Like
It's like a
massage gun.
water. It's not
Oh.
a gun. It's like a little tub for your feet.
Oh.
Yeah, and then you push the button and bubbles start happening and stuff like that. It's really nice.
Love
So
that.
yeah, it's lovely. So I put my feet in there for about 10, 15 minutes while I'm listening to just someone talking in my ear, either Dave Goggins or some motivational talk. I have a bunch saved on YouTube that I listen to, and then that's it. And I'm ready to, like, to go to bed after I do all the washing my face, brushing my teeth. It's time to go to bed. Bedtime's at like 8:30 for
8:30.
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get everything done in the morning. So when 4 a.m. starts, I'm not going to back to bed. I try not to take. It's one of those days I have like check-ins with clients because that's like a little exhausting. It takes my energy away.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like 4 a.m. Let's work, 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 and then I'll get my break when it's needed.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wait, I just want to pause really quickly because your screen. Oh, there it is. It's back. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Your screen froze for a second.
It's fine.
Sorry. Okay, so our nighttime routines are also similar, but something that helps me too, and I find that helps my clients and just other successful people is planning out your next day. But it sounds like you're already regimented. You know what that routine's gonna be like in the morning. So for me, like if I have laundry, I'm way more likely to do it in the morning instead of night. Like all those little home tasks, I like to do them in the morning too. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah. Some stuff is weekends only. Like laundry for me is
Friends
weekends
only.
only because
Yeah.
I'm like I got three different sections to make. Plus
Yeah.
a, we have a dog named Waffles. And yeah, Waffles is a wiener dog and Waffles has clothes.
That's so cute.
Yes, he has sweaters, hoodies, jackets, like you name it. He
Cold.
has
Lately it's cold.
Yeah, he stays in the house, but he has clothes, and I'm like have to wash the dog stuff separately and do all the other stuff. So it's a whole thing for one day when it
Yeah.
comes to laundry. Same thing with meal prep. I try to do it twice a week, but it's like one section off of my day.
Yeah, I love that. So do you meal prep? I do Sundays and usually like Wednesday nights. I just bulk prep meats because I hate cooking a meat on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. Say
So.
I'm the same way. Yeah, same days too. It's sometimes it may be Thursday depending on how much I have left. Yeah.
Yeah, like 3 to 4 days. That's
Right.
great. You don't do meal prep companies, you do it yourself.
Yes, I do it myself. I want to know everything that I'm eating,
Yeah, me too.
essentially. Yeah. So not to knock anyone who does like the meal prep companies, but yeah, I like to see that the food is being washed and cooked and some mental thing.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, there's little additives that they probably put in there for preserving it, and it could be a little sketchy,
Yeah.
especially with the gut health tips. So I want to kind of go into that too. What are you doing now that's really helping your gut health?
For one, I make sure I drink enough water. I do gallon tests for myself, and that kind of helps me. But water is essential. Like, it moves everything. I'm a tea person, so I love teas. And I make sure like whatever tea that I'm drinking, it's kind of serves a purpose.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been writing down like herbs that are made, you know, with certain teas, like the passion flowers for calming and things like that. Like I'm getting into that now to where now I'm going to just use teas as more of a remedy thing than rather trying to buy like medicine and all that stuff.
Peppermint tea for digestion. Something I definitely want to get back into. But yeah, what other foods do you incorporate for gut health? So you're trying to like stay away from supplements is kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, right now I'm not taking any supplements. I'm trying to steer from that. When I did take supplements, it was mostly vegan. I can't do dairy for some reason. It gives you like, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but acne, and I was like shocked. Yeah.
For like whey protein.
Yeah, it was giving acne, and I was like, I can't go back to that stage of life. Like I'm 30. What the heck?
No more pimples. Yeah.
Right.
What brand were you using? Not to like.
I'm not even sure. I think I was using just something on Amazon because I'm also like cheap as heck, if
Yeah,
being honest.
that's
Like I
good.
got kids, right? I need to be cheap. So I don't like all that big brand stuff. Like I think it's just a name at that point, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, cool. I think, yeah, it depends on the quality of the protein, on your personal reaction to it, on if it's what the ingredients look like. But I'm always that person that's like, get this stuff from food first before you even look at the supplements. Like, I'll have clients come on and be like, what supplements should I use? And I'm like, none. We need to conquer the basics. Are you getting enough sleep? Stress. Are you getting your protein in? And then maybe a few months down the line, once we get those, we can add in a creatine.
Right, exactly. And I'm the same way with my clients. And I say that because why are we buying things that we're not even going to be consistent doing? We can't even consistently eat. Why would we consistently take something that we can't consistently
A
do?
green supplement. You don't eat vegetables yet.
Right. It doesn't
Sandra?
make sense. Right. So yeah, I think the basics of understanding how food works, like solid food, right, before we start getting into just drinking stuff just to drink it at this point.
Yeah, that's great. Makes sense. Okay, so you started your Instagram. I kind of want to talk about that and the flow of your career growth and getting into coaching. After you had your daughter, you started weightlifting. Could you kind of bring me through that next portion of life, I guess, that story?
Yeah, so what people don't know, and a lot of my clients are shocked when I say this, I literally was not an entrepreneur at that time. I was working two jobs. I had two
Accounting, right?
kids. Yeah, I had all of these things, and I was trying to run an online business. So I was like, when people tell me I don't have time to work out, that's bullshit. Seriously, it is. Two jobs, two kids, and try to run a business. Like, I was wearing all types of hats. And most recently just became an entrepreneur full time. So
Exciting.
I, yeah, it is. It's exciting. It has its highs and lows, but I'm excited to just be on my own and do it and then inspire women to do what they need to do as well when it comes to their physiques. So that part of my life, I feel like was my, what is it? It's like my moving the mountain moment. Let me say that. Yeah, that was like that. It was like, this is going to be the biggest thing that you ever have to do, Nisha. And I need you to be spiritually there. I also need you to be mentally there, not just for your kids and your household, but also for the people that you're about to connect with. So there was a lot of detoxing. I lost a lot of friends, a lot of friends. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I'm down to two, and that's it. That's all I need. Yeah, that's it. So I feel like that was one of the scariest moments in my life doing this transition. But it was also one of the most things that I feel like I needed. Like, I needed this.
You needed to take the leap and it was uncomfortable. So,
Yeah.
what made you want to start the page first? Did you start your Instagram and it started taking off, and then you decided to like do coaching on the side of your two jobs? How did that flow happen?
I've always had my Instagram page since I had my daughter, so it's been like 6 years. I just wasn't serious about it. Like I said, I started doing like HIIT training and stuff, so I'm uploading those videos and all that things. I actually invested in a coach. So yeah, I invested in a coach. I walked myself through the entire process. Then I started to educate myself on what it is, like the bull crap that's on the internet right now. Let me say that. So to now I'm educating myself on it. And now I want to get certified for this. And then it went to, okay, now I want to mentor under someone because, again, I am a strong believer in that's just a sheet of paper. I know some coaches that don't look or think the way a coach should actually think and know how to transform a client's body from A to Z, but they have a sheet of paper.
Yeah, and they maybe have genetics.
Exactly. And they have genetics to match and they have a sheet of paper and that's it. And it's like, that's not a coach. Our jobs are more than just a sheet of paper. It's us being able to challenge you, not just physically, but mentally as well. Transform your physique from the inside out, help you understand nutrition to where if you just want a coach, just to want a coach, then that's it. That's what it would be as far as a concern, right? It's not every time I get a coach, now I'm back big again. You know what I mean? I want to teach clients how to live this for a lifetime, not just for a moment.
I love that. I
Yeah.
think a good coach is one that has walked the walk, talked the talk, gone through those hard times, like had their own coach, continually wants to grow too and changes their mind, which is okay to evolve and continuously do research. I think something that a lot of coaches do now is once they get that paper, that's the end of their education. And
Yep.
that really shouldn't be it. You should evolve. You should test out different strategies. Every client's going to be different. Every body's going to be different. And yeah, coach is really an umbrella term for like therapist, mentor, motivator. Like you wear a lot of hats. And it's a hard job. Like, and I take on, I'm that type of person that I take on other people's struggles and like the things that are going on in their lives. And it's something that I've really had to learn to compartmentalize. Like, okay, when I'm coaching, like I'm coach, and then I need to like drop that and continue on in my own life. Because some of these women, I don't know if you coach men as well, mostly women, right? Women.
Yeah, just
Me
women.
too. Like during the coaching phase, life happens. And life can be really hard sometimes, and some of those events can be really difficult. So you have to like have that compassion and that love for people to be a coach too. It's not just all programming.
Yeah.
So I love that you have like a similar mantra when it comes to that. But yeah.
Yeah. So I take pride in my coaching. I really do. Just like you said, connecting with women on a deeper level than just, hey, let's do a squat today, you know? Who cares about the squat if I'm like depressed? So, and that's the thing. But walking them through those steps is what is most important. And I love that part about it, just seeing how they're going to conquer things mentally, emotionally, and then diving onto the physical, like, we got this.
This is a really weird analogy, but I heard an ad recently for Hinge, the dating app, and it's like Hinge, the dating app that's meant to be deleted. And I'm like, it's almost like coaching, like, you know, I work with most of my clients for long term, like a year plus, a majority of them. But like at the end of it, like I want them to have the tools and the education to be able to continue it on their own and not to be like a quick fix, which I think is similar to you. It's like these long term commitments, client sustainability that eventually it's meant to be deleted. But the cool part is you could always come back to your coach. You know, like I've had a lot of like bounce backs where life happens again and they kind of just need that recheck in. But yeah, I guess when a new client comes to you and, you know, I feel like a lot of women are confused about their goal, how do you set them up for success and give them that timeline to where, you know, maybe they have an unrealistic goal or expectations?
Yeah. I'm a real coach. And when I say I'm a real coach, like I mean that. Like there is a lot of authority behind me saying that. And that's because I want to be honest with you when you send me your photos. Like I have clients and I've had clients in the past that'll send me a photo and they'll say, it's just my stomach. And I'll say, no, ma'am, it's not just a stomach. It's more. Like look at the amount of fat in your face, your arms, your back. Like let's be real, you know? And they love it because it's like, okay, I needed to hear that. And those are the type of women that I work with. That's look, if you want someone that's going to be real with you, like, now I'm not trying to be like mean or harsh or anything, just real. And I really want to educate you on how body fat works and, you know, the muscle and all that stuff. You're going to have to do some self-evaluation, you know? And we do those in my check-ins. We're now doing like those Zoom calls and things like that. So, I speak life into all of my clients, but I speak it out of love, but also like a tough love type of thing as well. Like life is going to happen to all of us, you know, and it's happening to me, but I'm on here every day talking to you guys. Yeah, I show up every day for you, for myself, for my kids. Like the whole house can be burnt down. You won't even know it. Because Nisha's gonna try to keep a smile on my face, and afterwards I'll talk about my house burning down later. We'll address that later.
I love that. Oh, cool. I guess the next thing is, Instagram, social media wise, how do you balance it all? Like making content, being an entrepreneur, being a mom, like, is it a lot sometimes, or, you know, you just slap the smile and like go through the motions? Because I know content, like coming from someone that makes daily content too, that can be stressful. Like it looks nice and pretty and polished behind the screen, but I know for a fact that can be really hard.
Yeah, I've started to learn like what works and what doesn't work as far as like filming. Like I don't like filming in a busy gym. Like that's not me. I'll rent a spot before I do that, or I'll film at home in my garage or something before I do that. Because it's not, I'm not going to be productive in that environment. So I don't understand how other people do it. Right. How do other people do that? I don't know. For me, I designate a time, a space to get my filming done, and I do it all. Yeah, and then that's it. If the only hard part about like doing the content part, I would say, is filming myself cook. Jesus Christ. Because you have to wait for the food to get
Stressful.
done. Yeah,
Yeah.
you have to wait for it to get done. I'm like, okay, how long is this chicken gonna take? Right. So that's the hardest thing. Like my camera had to be cleaned numerous of times because I got I got sauce chicken all on it. It's like, yeah. So that part I would say is the hardest part. But once you get a routine down pat, and I would encourage people who do this, like take the time out to do it. Carve it out like you would do anything else. Unfortunately, when I started to step into being an entrepreneur, I stopped going out for a minute. I stopped talking on the phone for a minute. Like there were so many things I wasn't allowed to do anymore simply because I had to focus on the now. Like I'm on a mission to reach these women, change their lives, you know, empower them. I cannot be distracted. So I would say, yeah, like when it comes to filming content and you wanting to grow and things like that, you're gonna have to stop doing a lot of old crap to do a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, it sounds just like what we tell our clients. When you have a passion, when you have a goal, you need to put your head down and make sure that you have your priorities straight.
Yeah.
I like that.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, content can be funny. I guess another thing that's hard too, from the creator standpoint, is like focusing on the audience that you have now and really catering to them and educating them. Whereas I feel like a lot of where we've evolved and our society now is like that one viral post, but it's not necessarily an educational post. So those can be hard too. I don't know, just like me scrolling, and I found that what helps me is not scrolling.
Yeah, stop scrolling. Put it
Yeah,
down.
is not
Put it
scrolling.
down.
Exactly.
But to add on to what you talked about, like the viral posts and things like that, and not educating, like especially when it's in the area of fitness, it's a lot of bull crap on the internet right now, and it irks my nerves so
Clickbait.
bad.
We're back
Yeah.
to
It
clickbait.
irks my nerve because I have people that'll come to me and ask these questions like, okay, what, you know, XYZ, and I'm like, where did you find this at? Like, can I build a booty with 2 10-pound dumbbells and bands? No, who told you that? Who told you that?
Maybe someone that already had a butt, told you,
Yeah,
like,
and
that's
they
literally lying to get likes.
exactly. So that's why, like, with my content, I'm always carrying the big weights. I'm showing women. They'll ask like, "What pound weight do you have? It's 50, or it's 60, or it's 100?" And they're like, "I don't have 100 at home. Go to the gym." Duh, like they have it at the gym.
Go find a corner of the gym, roll it over there, have it
Right.
done. Yeah.
Yeah, you got this. You picked up a baby before. You know what time it is.
Yeah, I love that. I have a little French bulldog, and we just went to weigh him, 30 pounds, and he can't walk down our flight of stairs. So that's like my arm workout every day, is like bringing him up and down.
Right. Or what was that trend they were doing? They was talking about, I want to carry all my groceries in one trip. Yes. Yes.
And they're doing the what is it? Farmers carry.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, what advice would you give to your younger self now? Or something you would tell yourself?
I would tell myself it's gonna be okay. I know that's kind of cliche or whatever, but I don't want to steer or change any decisions I made because I've learned a lot of lessons, even like at the age of 7, with like friends and who to associate with and you know, all that stuff. I would just say it's going to be okay. Like what you're experiencing now, it's not always going to be this. Those kids who are picking on you now, they're going to regret it. They're going to regret it.
Yeah, I love that. And what is, I guess, just the biggest lesson that you had to learn? I know you said you had to learn a lot of lessons, maybe just business-wise.
Business-wise comes with a lot. Learn how to say no. Your no is stronger than your why, seriously. Like I've had clients I had to turn down because we're just not aligned, you know, and that's okay. Or maybe our vibes are not vibing. I don't know. And that's okay. It's a lot of brands I had to say no to because A, I'm not, no. I want to stand by a company, a brand, a supplement that I love, I know, I like. All those things. So my no is really strong because regardless of who's going to stand next to me, I'm standing. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with where I am at. And if it's not you, I can create it. So that's the thing. I can create it because I see all these influencers, they're selling things or promoting supplements and stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's you. And that's fine. But if you're not gonna say like, okay, I'm standing by a product I love, I enjoy, and they're paying me what I'm worth, it's not worth it. You can create your own product. You can do it yourself nowadays. So yeah, I say no all the time now.
I love that. I feel like it's really easy to say no to when you know your purpose, you know your values, and you practice them daily. Like you're in your night routine where you not only like pray about what you want, but you pray about gratitude of what's happened. And I feel like a lot of people miss that part. It's like they only pray about what they want, but they never appreciate the past and their values and their core. So that's huge. I love that.
Definitely, definitely. Like I believe like New Year's, a lot of people are saying like, oh my God, I'm so glad 2023 is over. I'm like, why are
Wow.
you saying that? Like, show grace to yourself. What did you accomplish? And if you didn't accomplish nothing, what lesson did you learn? Like, you have to look at it as a perspective of positive rather than all the negative stuff. Like, I just want to put it behind me. Okay, yeah, it's behind you, but you're not going to address anything in front of you if you don't address what you have done and have not done.
I love that. I actually just got this book. It's like right there above my counter because I'll like make coffee and read it. It's one page per day, and I feel like you would love it. The Daily Stoic.
The dailies. Oh, I've heard of that. I think
You
I've
heard of
seen
it?
someone reading it. The Daily Stoic.
Yeah, we started it yesterday, and it's just a little mantra or meditation for the day. Like today's was the real value of money, and yesterday's was all about gratitude. And every day there's a date, so today's was like January 23rd. And they have 366 days, and then you kind of reread them. And one of my clients has it, and she's like, "It's really interesting because I've had it for 3 years, and like." It means different each year, the meaning of
Yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'll definitely check it out. Is it on Amazon? Because I need to cancel my subscription so I'm buying stuff. Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Is there any like last words or things you want to leave people with? Anything like that?
I would say when it comes to like stepping into the best version of yourself, you have to be ready to cut off limbs, unfortunately. You also have to be ready to sacrifice the time, right? An investment doesn't always have to be money, all right? If you are investing in a coach, that's good, right? You need that education to get to that next level. But it can also be the time, the food I'm going to spend, like the fact that I'm going to actually study this myself. Pour into yourself, because if you're not pouring into you, your cup is going to be like empty. Because you got to pour into life every day. Like every day you get up, you have to put a drop into life, put a drop into work, put a drop into kids if you have kids. Like you're putting all of this water on these other plants, and your plant is slowly dying because you're never going to water yourself. So for, career-oriented moms, people who are entrepreneurs, women, and individuals who know like I can do better, do better.
Do
You know,
better.
I know it's simply said, but it can be done with some steps, right? Yeah, do better.
A lot of women are people pleasers, feel like those actions are selfish, but they don't realize it's like the most selfless thing they could be doing because they could give so much more if they're taking care of themselves. So I like that message. And I feel like we need reminders. Like I even kind of needed that reminder. Like yesterday, I felt like I was neglecting my boyfriend and my dog because I was working really hard on a project, you know? But like I needed to do that. And when I have time to pour into them, I will pour back into them. So same goes for you guys. If you need time, if you need space, take it because you'll just be better when you go to your family, your work, and all the other things.
Yeah, you're gonna feel
For it.
better too, your energy.
Yeah, and you're gonna look better and you're gonna feel better and all the things.
Right. So yeah, I would say just do better. And I think 2024 is the year of, I want to say a year of like grabbing what's yours, you know? Yeah, it's that year for a lot of women, and they really need to just grab it and go with it.
Yeah, grab it and run.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, where can everyone find you on social media? I'll tag your Instagram below as well, but any other platforms?
That's all I have is Instagram. Well, I have a TikTok. I mean, but I don't know how it works, so
Clearly same.
don't know how it works, but Instagram is where I am, and then yeah. You'll on today is already my Tough Talk Tuesday, but my stories, I share with you guys exactly like my mornings, what I'm eating, my routine, like my kids are in there too. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. It was so nice having you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the invite, and I'm excited. I was glad to meet you too.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Bye.